This is The Takeaway. Good morning. I'm Todd Zwillick.
And I'm Lynn Scher. And if the last book you bought was a movie, stay tuned. Remember this?
If you force it to open, the vial breaks. Vinegar dissolves papyrus. And your secret is lost forever.
I've never met a girl who knew that much about a cryptex.
Sonia made one for me once.
My grandfather gave me a wagon.
That, of course, was The Da Vinci Code, the big screen version of the international best-selling book by Dan Brown. It's the kind of success publishers dream about, and today they're dreaming very big indeed. The Lost Symbol is Dan Brown's follow-up book. It comes out next Tuesday at a time when the publishing industry needs a big win after a very tough year. One good sign for the business? The book is already the number one book on Amazon.com, and it hasn't even been published yet. Motoko Rich is watching the hype and the growing expectations. She covers publishing for our partner, The New York Times. Motoko, good morning.
Good morning.
So The Da Vinci Code, as a book, sold more than 80 million copies around the world. What kind of expectations do booksellers, realistic expectations, do booksellers have for The Lost Symbol?
Well, it's a good question about what realistic expectations might be. But the publisher, for a start, has printed 5 million copies and is shipping them out sometime this week for the on-sale date of Tuesday. So expectations are extremely high.
And 5 million in the publishing world is where in the scale of is this expected to be a biggie?
Well, if you think of the sort of average, I mean, a good Stephen King or John Grisham will generally sell about 1 million copies total, but the average book sells, you know, 60, 70,000 copies. So 5 million is huge. It's not Harry Potter huge. I think Harry Potter sold something like 12, 13 million in its first 24 hours, first couple of days on sale, but this is big for an adult trade book. Part of the reason is that Dan Brown's last book, The Da Vinci Code, was published in 2003. He promised a follow-up by sometime around 2005, and now we're here in 2009. So the publisher is looking a little late.
What the heck? So, by the way, quick pricey. What do we know about the story?
We don't know much, but he's told us a little tantalizing details, that it features Robert Langdon again, that it's set in Washington, D.C., that it has a lot to do with the Freemasons. So he's given us a few tidbits, and everybody's all across the blogosphere is trying to figure out what it's actually about, and a lot of different writers and publishers are kind of cranking up. So the moment the book comes out and they have a moment opportunity to read it, they're all going to write their own historical and factual backgrounds about it.
And is the idea just to sell this book, or do booksellers have something else in mind when people come in to purchase this one?
Oh, they most definitely have something else in mind. They're hoping that this will really, really kind of light a fire under book buyers. It's been, as you said, a very sluggish year, and so fall is traditionally the big season for booksellers anyway, but this is turning out to be kind of an extraordinary fall. Not only do we have Dan Brown's book coming out, but there are pretty much every big author that you can think of has a book coming out this fall. That week alone, Senator Ted Kennedy's memoir is coming out on Monday. Jon Krakauer has a book coming out. Then John Irving has a book coming out. Stephen King, John Grisham, Barbara Kingsolver, Nick Hornby. I mean, it's just turning out to be this crazy fall of big-name authors putting books out. And so the booksellers are hoping that people might come in to buy the Dan Brown or the Ted Kennedy memoir.
And walk out with 12 others in their little pocketbook.
Exactly.
Okay, Motoko Rich covers publishing for our partner, The New York Times. And, you know, if you're going to write a book and if it's not going to be one of these blockbusters, just keep your fingers crossed.
Takes place in Washington, D.C. I haven't seen any of the movie trucks around Washington yet, but I'm sure they'll be there for this.
Oh, they'll be following right along.
Yeah.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.